Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 43 Episode 6 recap, and it was, in fact, a real merge, not a fake merge, although, of course, it was still an earn the merge, so there was still a twist on this, which we'll talk all about. No hourglass, so we actually watched the people who won win, and Danny McRae is finally going to be able to sleep tonight. I'm very happy for him.
What a low bar we've set for ourselves. Like, yay, that didn't happen.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's how I felt. And then I went on Twitter and I started, you know, because Alexa had a really good tweet tonight and I was really proud of her and I patted her on the back and it was good. But I don't get many of those
from Phil. So I was shocked to get that text.
And yeah,
that meme goes a long way.
It does. It does. And I was very happy to see it. I was like, whoa, that came from the specialist. Look at us being relevant in the middle of an episode.
We never tweet live.
But when I was looking through Twitter, I thought it was funny that some of the people were kind of saying like, well, we don't really need an earn the merge because they've already earned their way to the merge. Like they made it this far in the game. They didn't get voted out. On a small season of 18 people, where 13 people are going to make like the merge portion. I actually thought tonight was awesome. Like, I thought the episode itself was awesome, but I think this earn the merge thing works the way that they wanted to do it, because not for nothing, surviving 5 episodes of Survivor, is you shouldn't really be rewarded for that. Like, back in the day, that meant congratulations, like you finished 12th place. In some seasons, that meant you finished 14th or 15th. They weren't even sniffing a merge. But I actually kind of liked it tonight, and I was surprised that that wasn't really the universal acclaim it was getting.
Yeah, I think it's because Mike Bloom had a good tweet that was like, I don't understand like what there is to earn, which I do agree with. It feels like just a thing to do, but I am with you that it's kind of lame to have 5 people in a pre-merge. I actually missed this. Is Ellie on the jury or is she not?
No, she is not on the jury.
Okay. So, but even 6 pre-merge people, it's like so little time. And that's not to do this for the rest of time, but it's 12 days. They made it 12 days.
Not a big deal.
So it's like, that's just going to be kind of a hard pill to swallow. And I don't like the long shot of tribal council and before the challenge with like 1,000 people. I think it's just, I don't know. It's very full. And this merge was a hot mess, which I think if there were 9 people, it'd be a hot mess. But it's just really busy when there's that many people around. It's not like a huge knock, but that's my old school brain just complaining.
Yeah, it is busy. And I did feel like I almost wanted like a little arrow pointing to who had a vote and who didn't at tribal council, because like, you know, part of me is like, wait, so if Jesse doesn't, how many votes could we possibly get? And you got to let us know if Noelle's going to use hers, yeah, which she probably won't tonight. But all of that was kind of going through my head.
I liked how they did it. They were really making fun of themselves in the beginning, where Owen was sort of walking us through who has what. I did like that because it was informative, but also pretty funny.
No, I thought that was great.
I loved that.
And it caught the audience up in a fun way. Like, the audience now knows where everything is and has a visual of it, rather than trying to just put it all in their head. And it's somebody explaining it almost the way that we're trying to explain it to each other. If you're sitting down watching it with your parents, they're going, wait, who has this? Who has that? That's kind of how this felt. And I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Overall, I thought this was a 10 out of 10 episode. And I don't say that very often from pretty much anything from 37 on. I don't think I've said 10 out of 10 very many times. And I thought this was a 10 out of 10 episode. I really enjoyed this. I thought it had a really old school feel. And when I say old school, I'm talking like heyday Survivor of like 14 through 20. That's what this felt like to me. It was a lot of chaos. There was idols that were being discussed, advantages that were being discussed, but they weren't so overwhelming. And ultimately, at this tribal council, which was so revolving around Gabler being pissed that they went through his bag and knew he had an idol, no idol was played. Nothing was played. So it had that old school feel of just chaos. I don't know how Janine was surprised by this outcome. I don't understand. I think Ellie was spot on when she's like, I'm going to go home. Maybe Janine was just like, well, I got to keep the idol for myself because I'm more important than you. But with all the idol talk that there were no idol plays. And this had an old school feel to it where there was just a lot of scrambling. Thought the episode flew by. And I'm gonna say this. I am a fan of this Earn the Merge. I really am. I think it's fun to watch. I think it's exciting. And I don't mind that they go to tribal council where 6 or 7 people are in danger and 6 or 7 people aren't in danger, as long as they don't do a stupid hourglass thing. Like, I think it's a fun twist on the game, and not for nothing, I don't feel bad for Ellie tonight. I thought Ellie was a great villain on this season. And yes, she was a villain. I thought she was a great villain. I found her very entertaining. I am disappointed she went home because I thought she was bringing it. Like, she was great TV. However, I don't feel bad for her. Like, she got 13th place. She didn't get screwed by anything. She just went home. That is the feeling we should have at this type of episode. And I'm satisfied. I'm very satisfied.
Yeah. And I think what also added to the old school feel is that it was originally like, okay, we're going to split the votes. We're going to do this, that, and the other thing. And then it ended up being the people who didn't like each other were just really loud, and the whole vote revolved around that. That's pretty old school. Like, that's just people who cannot exist in the same room together. And I want to, like, there's both a lot and a little to break down. I feel like that's how I feel about merges. Like, but I didn't realize this until you just said that, but with what you texted me about Janine and what you just said there, I think Janine faked being surprised, because I agree with you. If I'm Janine, I'm not giving up my idol. She probably knew Ellie was seeing Duck. Janine, if I'm doing my calculations are correct, she voted for Ellie. I have that Noelle voted for Cassidy, Carla voted for Owen, and Ellie and Owen voted for James. Ergo.
Well, Janine didn't vote.
Oh God, that's so true.
Yeah, Janine
I thought I was onto something there. Yeah, then in that case, yeah, if I'm Janine, I don't have a vote. Why the hell would she give up her idol for somebody who, like, I don't think there's ever even a conversation of that.
And obviously Janine was not going to go home because she was part of the group that was safe. But if Janine plays her idol for Ellie, the chaos is now going to ensue, and the odds are Ibaka is going to go home, because they had figured out that Cody had the idol, which I thought Noelle unexpectedly revealing that was just hilarious.
Unbelievably out of nowhere.
Awesome. And Ellie picked up on it. Again, like, I don't think Ellie was bad at Survivor. I think she just got cocky. I think for some reason she saw Gabler and just wanted to pick on Gabler. And there was nothing that could stop her from picking on Gabler. It felt like Gabon when they were all just like picking on Sugar. And it's like, okay, but you keep picking on Sugar. Sugar keeps finding a way. Gabler tonight felt like he found a way. And Ellie was just blinded by the fact that she really thought Gabler wasn't very smart. And so I don't think she was bad at Survivor by any means. But if you are Janine and you play your idol for Ellie, Cody's going to play his idol for himself. You don't know if Blue has an idol. You know Gabler has an idol, so he could decide to play it for somebody else. Now, are you going to lose Owen? Are you going to lose Sammy? Like, Janine's game is far from over. She has an idol. It's final 12. This was a targeted hit on Ellie. Like, this was not, I want to get rid of Ellie and Janine. This was a targeted hit on Ellie. Gabler made it easy for everybody, but I don't actually think Janine's in that much danger next.
No, I think Janine's actually going to find some new life out of this, because she has that idol. And yes, her Baca crew is pretty exploded, but I think it was more of Ellie who was driving it than Janine. Janine seems to be a bit more subdued. And yeah, I don't think Sammy trusts Janine like to the same amount that she trusts Ellie. But all of a sudden, Janine is a solo player. Janine, nobody's as scary when their other half is gone. Janine has an idol. I think people, this is how it goes in merges. People are going to move on. Ryan was safe tonight. And if he wasn't safe, I think he had a gigantic chance of going home. So all of a sudden it's like, okay, Gabler can stop complaining about Ellie. Baca can all fight each other now. Let's get rid of Ryan. Let's get rid of Noelle, who's apparently in power, even though she only voted for Cassidy. I can't wait to see how they try to spin that one.
Don't understand that at all.
Literally so out of nowhere. I think Janine is in a good place. I'm glad that she kept her idols for herself. I am really happy with how this Baca tribe ended up, even though we're probably only halfway done with them. I am blown away that the five of them could even look each other in the eye and say that they were pretending to vote together.
Well, and that's the thing. Tonight, this kind of felt like the Cagayan merge to me, where like it was such a disaster and Sarah thought she was in power and then it ends up being Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this felt like to me with this group, because Ellie thought she had all the power. Gabler starts calling her out. Now, technically, here I am like marching in. Ellie didn't go through Gabler's bag. Okay.
Yeah, Janine gets off scot-free here.
She gets off scot-free. But the reason I think Janine gets off scot-free is because Janine played a better social game than Ellie. Ellie was the one who was being more vocal about Gabler doesn't know what's going on. And that's what got her in trouble. Janine went through the bag. Ellie wanted her to go through the bag, and Ellie pushed for her to go through the bag. Owen also pushed for them to go through the bag. But Owen got off scot-free too, because they were lighter on Gabler. I think Ellie was just too aggressive. And because Gabler already had it in his mind that, like, Sammy said to Gabler, Ellie doesn't think you know that you can play your idol.
And yeah, Sammy's really the nucleus here.
That was it. I mean, once you hear that, you're like, well, she thinks I'm stupid. I can't work with her. Like,
yeah, that's true. I think also, like, I do not think by any means Gabler is playing a remotely good game.
Oh, Gabler's gonna go home next week. Like, Gabler, he's, yeah. Now Gabler is officially screwed.
It would have been really fun if he played his idol for somebody, because I was like, why aren't we talking about it? But it was so unnecessary. But I'm glad he'll be able to take it home to his family instead of the bead that he unfortunately gave to Janine to give her an idol. Yes, I think a lot of all of the Bacchas do win out by Ellie not being there anymore, because Sammy was about to get pounced on. Everyone was realizing that he was the one spreading all the rumors. Owen, I'm really interested what happened with him, because he voted with Ellie. And I think every single person at the merge feast was like, what is this Gabler guy doing?
Yeah, I don't think Gabler is playing good, but I do think what Gabler did in this episode that really worked for him, his number one adversary was Ellie. Even if it's not true, I mean, we can sit here and say, well, it's half Janine's fault, it's half Ellie's fault, it's a quarter Owen's fault, it's a quarter Sammy's fault. At the end of the day, Ellie and Janine as a group were coming for Gabler. They didn't think Gabler was smart. They didn't want to play with him. They were trying to vote him out. They were trying to get him to misuse his idol. Like, all of that is a fact. Like, they were coming for Gabler. They weren't trying to work with him. So I'm fine with all this breaking down. So Gabler throws out Ellie's name, because not for nothing, if Ellie gets through tonight's vote, Gabler no longer has his idol. He still has somebody who really, a pair, not just one person, but a pair who really want to vote him out. And they have power because Janine has an idol. He knew Janine had the idol. I think that's why you go after Ellie. I think if the roles were reversed and Ellie was on the winning team and Janine was on the losing team, Gabler probably does throw Janine's name under the bus. Couldn't do it this time, though, because of Ellie. Or because of this merge-atory.
Yeah. I don't know. I know. Take a shot every time someone says merge-atory.
It actually goes to Cassidy tonight. She was the episode title.
Yes, Cassidy gets the episode title. Shout out to Cassidy. I think maybe not, just because he was laser focused on Ellie. And I think that speaks to Janine, or speaks less to Ellie, that like it was just the two of them. They needed to end, because it was becoming like, I just can't stand watching you two fight anymore. It was a bit like the Dom and Chris thing. Like, I get it. I've seen it.
I think it was a perfect amount of time.
It was a perfect amount of time. Yeah. And because they had been winning so much too, which is funny, because they were the hottest mess of a tribe. And they like, it was so there, like the red tribe and the yellow tribe were going to make a super tribe, and the yellow tribe just couldn't handle it. And that was really cool to watch that cascade over the course of an hour.
Now, do you think Ellie overplayed this? Throw away the Gabler stuff. Like, just disregard that Gabler did anything and whatever. Do you think Ellie was going towards overplaying this anyway, just because she was trying to make inroads with everybody? James didn't seem like he was buying it from the start, and that was even before they knew that Gabler had thrown her under the bus.
Yeah, I think I don't think I'd use overplay. I think she just thought she was playing great. Like, yeah. I think if she was more discreet, it would have worked. I think she's, and we've been getting that from her the whole time. Like, I'm getting good at this. I'm good at this game. As soon as she said that, I was like, bruh, you're so in trouble this week. I think it was really good intuition of James to just like immediately get those sketchy vibes. I was really impressed. I was really impressed with James. The edit played really well, that he ended up getting two votes, and I really did think it was going to go his way for a second. But it did seem a little random for it to be James.
James felt random, because James hasn't done all that much on this season, but I was really impressed with how James played tonight. I thought
it was good.
I thought James like really sniffed out what was going on and did a good job of making it clear like his intentions and what he was trying to do and why he didn't trust Ellie. He didn't trust Ellie before they knew the Gabler thing. Mm-hmm. That's good intuition. And I also think that like Ellie was trying to play both sides with people she didn't know yet. And I think that's what got her in trouble. Whereas like James and Cassidy and Cody kind of took the step back when she wouldn't say the name to James. That was horrible.
It was literally like, I was laughing because it was like, I don't want it to be this person or that person. And I feel like she was doing that thing where if you listen to too many of our podcasts, it's probably like oh, never be the person to give out a name. So she just said every name except for the one so that he would be the one to verbalize it. I thought it was funny. And then I that happened twice at the merge feast. Janine was like, well, I don't want Ellie. And Noelle was like, well, I don't want Cody. And it was like, well, are we go around and say that we love everyone? Cause that's not going to work.
Why can't we say, like, yeah, exactly. The merge feast thing was hilarious. It was like, everybody wants everybody to stay. Carla had that great line of just like, everybody wants everybody. But I like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, I don't want to be like, Alexa, you go back to the tribe and say, well, Phil threw out your name. But at the same time, like you said, I don't want to vote for Coco or Baca. You threw out Cody's name. Just say Cody. Like by not saying Cody, you're being sketchy and you're rubbing somebody the wrong way. James at that point was like, she doesn't even want to say Cody's name. So why should I trust her? Mm-hmm. Like she's clearly worried about what Cody's going to come back with.
I know. And Cody also was a huge winner for not like, he turned out completely fine. Let's talk about Cody having his cover blown without even knowing that his cover is blown yet. This whole season, and I think Baca especially, has been full of, I have this thing and now I need to tell my entire tribe about it. I think it's like, it
seems like, I'm back. Like every single person knew who was and who wasn't voting. And that was just like so little of a concern. And people know that Cody has an idol. Seems to be half the tribe knows that Janine has an idol and no one knows that Carla has an idol.
Yeah. I know. The Carla thing was surprising because it wasn't like they all were saying, oh, I don't know who has an idol. I don't know who has an idol, blah, 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 blah. But it was funny that nobody seemed like they were trying to figure out that Carla had the idol or who had the idol from the blue tribe. Carla seems like she's gotten off free here. Now, granted, we might just not have seen it because it might have just not fit into the episode tonight. But yeah. I think you have to hit settings and then do it that way. Go through the audio there. Okay. But I think the Noelle blowing the cover, it's funny because she's the only one on that tribe who didn't know Cody had an idol out of everybody who was left. Yeah, you're good now.
Okay.
She was the only one who didn't know that Cody had an idol. Mm-hmm. And so she was just saying stuff like, oh, we love Cody. This is why. And it blows up Cody's game. So this Amazing. Is actually an instance where it would have been better if Cody had told Noelle he had the idol, because then she would have been fine. But it doesn't seem like Ellie and Janine told her that, hey, by the way, that means Cody has an idol.
Yeah, they did not seem to respond back.
Yeah.
So Noelle famously less in control than we just talked about right now. I actually think that whole Vessi tribe is like beyond fine. They are safer than I think anybody else. I think Ryan's in a ton of trouble. I think James is going to be fine. He's probably a little shaken up that he got those votes, but I think when he saw how many people ended up voting for Ellie, then he turned out okay.
Yeah, he was never actually in trouble of going home. He was quite reactive though. He was going crazy.
Yeah, I think it's like when you've watched so much Survivor and like the one name pops up, he was probably like, oh God, they did get me. Yeah. Why did Carla vote for Owen?
So, okay. I'm trying to figure this one out because I think Carla was in on everything. So we had Carla vote for Owen. We had Noelle vote for Cassidy. Owen voted for James with Ellie. I think that they were concerned if Ellie does play her idol,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure that it's somebody. I think she was trying to protect her tribe if mm-hmm. she could, Cassidy and James. Now, granted, she voted solo, but I think they had decided we're not going to split the votes. Owen actually, I think, made the right move voting for James, because if Ellie does play the idol, it's James who goes home. You're protecting yourself and you're protecting Sammy. But I think Carla's was more like, well, if Owen doesn't do this, we have a three-way tie now. Everybody revotes. I think that was kind of going lost on people, that even though the winners weren't vulnerable, they were still going to vote. Everybody's going to revote. Maybe now you can convince them all, hey, let's vote for Owen. Mm-hmm. And by Owen's name being out there, it ensures that there's a chance Owen could go home.
Yeah, that's a good point. Carla is. If that's it, she's playing like lights out right now. What else do we have here?
Carla almost lost her hand tonight.
Yeah, and then she ends up with one Band-Aid. Like, It must not have been that big of a deal, but it, you know, when you get your hand slammed in by a door, it looked like that, except it broke a blood vessel.
Yeah, she was bleeding. She was bleeding pretty good. I mean, not for nothing, good for her for still finishing out the challenge and doing that part where you have to grab the rope. Because grabbing a rope with normal hands hurts. So grabbing a rope with a ripped hand, I don't know if anybody, it's Halloween time, so I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie The Descent, but go watch the movie The Descent and just watch the part where the rope slides out of the girl's hands. It ruins your life.
It ruins your life. And it does. Even close up, she's like holding someone's hand and you just see it. That
when she fell down, it just slides through the dirt and everything. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Infection. That's what that is. Thank you.
Kate. We got the Saint Jeff candle is now in the background for those of you at home. That challenge, the first half of the challenge I found quite fine, but that little slope thing was really cool. We got that awesome Spider-Man moment from Ryan. We have some really great back and forth on Ryan, like maybe strategically a bit questionable, but from a challenge perspective, gigantic fan. That was crazy.
He was a physical beast in this episode. I mean, he literally did a crunch while holding Carla's hand with one hand. He reached back up from upside. That's insane. That's crazy. Just try doing that without holding anybody up, and now you're holding up a human being. Like, that's crazy. And so he was great there. I also thought Ryan had a really good moment tonight when they told him, the Vessi people told him, and Jesse kind of felt like, oh, Cody, why are you saying that? And they told him what the plan was and who Ellie was throwing out there. And Ryan was like, thanks, whatever. And he ran right over to his old tribe and told them. I think he's doing his best to try to get back in with them, which I do ultimately think is the smartest thing he can do. He's the strongest one out of all of them. If he can get to a final four with the Coco people, he's going to the final three.
That's a really good point. And I think it was like, it was hugely beneficial for him to be safe tonight because it gave him whatever, a day and a half to get back in their good graces. And I think like people were even saying it at the beginning, and it's like the disrespect to the pre-merge of the game. Everyone's like, oh yeah, I was playing Survivor Lite. We were in gladiator training, blah, blah, blah. That is a mentality. And like that happened in the past. Ryan helped them. Ryan like was huge for winning that challenge. And then now you have Ellie to deal with. You have Gabler to deal with. Well, Ellie's gone. You have Gabler to deal with. You have all of Baca imploding on yourselves. Why get rid of a free number right now, which I think Ryan would advertise himself as, and he can get his own confidence back up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Ryan's in a good spot. Also, the one thing that, whether it's acting or not, the one thing that Ryan is doing really well right now is he's not playing very good Survivor. And I really think like when he was sitting there on the bench and Gabler starts blowing it up with Janine right there on the bench and Ryan's like, well, I'm not going to say anything. He really isn't. Like, I think the good thing for Ryan is like, he's playing like bad Survivor in air quotes, but he's also playing kind of good Survivor by being kind of this lost puppy right now. And I think it's working for him because he does have a lost puppy feel.
Yeah.
It worked tonight.
He so does. Yeah. If Ryan, you're listening, I'm saying this with all love. He's playing bad Survivor, but he's not playing the worst Survivor. So therefore he doesn't seem that bad. That Let's Be the Final Seven moment was incredible.
Hilarious.
So, 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 so good. It was like people hanging out at the party. And then it's like, hey, can I invite my boyfriend who everybody hates, but nobody wants to say that they hate him. It was so good. Like Carla drinking a beer. Nobody had a good poker face. And that was really bad. And then Gabler did his own thing. And all of a sudden, no one cares about Ryan anymore. So it's really working for him. Play 11th place Survivor, but just don't play 12th place Survivor.
That's it. That's all you got to do. I mean, I'm telling you, because right now, like, that was a dumb thing to say. But at the same time, like, why not throw it out there? Like, who cares? Who cares? Yeah. I mean, who cares if you're throwing it out there
someone.
Or not? And you know what that shows? Because Gabler showed that he had an enemy in Ellie. It's showing that Ryan has no agency in this game. You're on another tribe, you're looking at this saying, maybe we can use that guy. He is desperate for friendship right now. That's not a bad place to be when you hit final 12 or 13, whatever you're at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is, to go way backwards, I think it is a fun dynamic to have half the tribe safe and the other half not safe. Also, one thing I didn't mention, I swear we have said this on a podcast before. Noelle not getting picked and betting on a tribe. Amazing.
It's so much fun.
I've been wanting that for so many rewards. And I swear we talked about that. And maybe Survivor took idea. I mean, whatever, you know.
It is such a fun idea because they've done this in the past where you get to do that. And like, we don't need them to go to some island and do some whatever. She had a pick and she had to sit there and she had to watch her fate. And thankfully, Red just sucks at puzzles. Like, Ellie wasn't great at puzzles all year, but
that was Janine. Terrible. Janine's on top of the puzzles.
Was Janine doing the puzzles?
She was the blue.
That's right. She was on blue. And they dominated. I mean, they came back, they killed it. And good for Noelle. Like, she gets to win, but not for nothing. Like, part of my rooting interest in tonight's episode is based on I really like Noelle and I want Noelle to be safe. So that does influence who I'm rooting for. But then at the same time, once the Red Tribe lost and they all went there and they're all I'm like, I kind of wish the other tribe lost. Like, I kind of like, I loved watching Ellie. Like, I really wanted Ellie to stay. But then at the same time, I'm like, man, I kind of want Gabler to get her. But I was kind of hoping it would last a little bit longer. Like, it was just a good storyline. I think it worked in this. It worked really well in this episode. But I'm totally with you. Let them choose a side. Now maybe we're getting close, Alexa, to them actually picking their freaking teams again. Maybe we're really reverting all the way back to like season 7 or 8. And we're all going to start like crying when they start picking their friggin' teams.
Ooh, slow down there, Phil. That's a lot, but that sounds exciting. Yeah. And that's the thing that like throughout the challenge, Noelle could have just never been there. Or instead the camera kept cutting to her and you see her freaking out because she thought she picked the wrong group. That was really great. And when you said that with Gabler and Ellie are the sloppier version of what I wanted Shannon and Ricard to be. Shannon and Ricard, when they were bickering, like annoyed me. Gabler and Ellie also really annoyed me, but I felt they were just like two people who didn't like each other. And it was it's really nice to have people who don't like each other on the show instead of shaking hands. Oh yes, you got me so good. Ellie's like, that's what you get for trusting Gabler, which is a weird thing to say because she's going home. Like, that's good. That's good.
I loved it. And like, not for nothing, like, what did Gabler really do? Like, Gabler hasn't lied to any of them. And not for nothing, like, all he said was, I don't like Ellie. That's like, you going home in that situation doesn't really make Gabler untrustworthy. Like, it doesn't do any of that. But it kind of had like the Stephanie LaGrossa James feel of like, F you, shut your mouth. Like, that's kind of what it felt like.
It was like the middle between those two.
It was. And like, everybody always like, you know, we all have to play with the, as Ryan said last week, stop with the niceness. Like, I think it's good sometimes. Like, you need to have this kind of, this is harmless, like, hatred towards each other. This isn't like, oh my God, that person's being aggressive or physical or whatever. This is harmless survivor hate.
It's awesome.
That is what we need on our TVs. We need more of it. And honestly, I wish people hated Ryan more because I don't, I love that he's a lost puppy, but like, maybe they got to kick him to the curb a little bit more because it makes it fun when these people don't like each other. I love that James was just like, screw Ellie. That Ellie Gabler conversation was one of the most uncomfortable conversations we've watched in Survivor in a long time. And I couldn't get enough of it. Like,
I know. I was like, you both are so bad at arguing, but it was such a real fight. You know,
it was so real. But neither one of them would budge. And like, I loved Gabler just looking her in the eye and being like, then who went through my bag? Well, I don't do that. And it's like, okay, well, you're gone. Like, I have no news for you. Won't even tell me, but you know the information somehow.
It was so good. It was great. It's a bummer that you're right. I was kind of getting annoyed with it, but maybe because it was so much this episode, I probably could have gone for like one more episode of it.
Yeah.
Janine's still there, but all of Baca is still there. I think Sammy's going to get in a little bit of trouble too. So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I was surprised Sammy's name didn't come up at all tonight. Were you surprised? Like, Owen got a vote, and I know it was a stray bullet, but like, how is Sammy? I thought for sure Sammy and Cody were going to be the vote getters. Now I get Ellie's thing kind of like blew up. But for Sammy's name to not even come up felt really surprising to me. I know we all underestimated him at the beginning of the season, but it really feels right now like we underestimated him.
Yeah, I am impressed that he didn't get votes in light of the Gabler and Ellie blow up, especially. I don't know. I think I think Sammy is not. Sammy seems like one of the few people who's not like overplaying or trying to overplay. Sammy has, he gets his info, he feeds it to Gabler, and consciously or unconsciously, all of these people hate each other so much that they're not even thinking about Sammy. And it's sort of the same thing with Owen too. I think maybe in this case, people sense that he's young and find that not intimidating, if I'm going to be honest. Like, if I'm Carla and I'm going to vote for Owen or Sammy, maybe vote for Owen.
How could you think he's young, though? He was screaming, BYOB, where's the party? I mean, this is a 23-year-old guy. He's like, what are you talking about?
This is a 23-year-old who goes to Brigham Young University, and he's screaming, BYOB. Something's incorrect here.
Yeah,
and he also did – I'm so upset that I'm about to bring this up twice. This was when Robert and I podcasted. He did this TikTok dance after winning a challenge, and I didn't know it was a TikTok dance until Robert told me. And it's like, oh, yeah, you are – quite young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there. Yeah. What was it? The gritty or whatever?
Is that what Mac Jones did it too. That's why I knew what it was.
And the one guy, I think it was for the Lions or something. The guy did it, and they like TJ Hawkinson, and they made fun of him because he did it like literally all the way to the bench. And they're like, that's enough of that. the kids are cool these days, Alexa. We're not on their level anymore.
We are not certifiably uncool.
Yeah, we are old people, but yeah, I'm impressed with Sammy. I really am. Like, you know, and here's the thing. I talked about this in the last episode where I think he really might be like the most entertaining teenager to ever play Survivor. You know, Will Wall had great moments, but Will Wall got completely overshadowed. I'm a huge Julia Sokolowski fan. I think Michael Yerger was a fan favorite, but mainly because he was just on Malolo and Malolo sucked.
Oh
and
my so, God, he was so boring.
Yeah, like that's where I was at. Like Yerger just, he was exciting because you wanted somebody from Brendan and Stephanie and all them to survive, but he was the least interesting out of all of them. He had game, but what was he doing? I feel like Sammy is a great personality. I think he's just this, he's got the arrogance you want from an 18, 19 year old on Survivor. Like he's just so cocky and he's so loud and he doesn't care. And I think that is what is making him work really well right now. And like, he's in a really good spot. I mean, he is in a really good spot.
He is right in a great spot. I actually don't find him super cocky. I think he's like, he has like that general energy of like Gen Z young kid overconfidence, but he's
overconfident.
Maybe that, but he's like in his confessionals, he's very like, and I mean, this in a good way, like he's very staccato. He's very like, here's what the facts are to me. And it's pretty impressive.
It is. It's impressive. I guess overconfident is the better term. I just think a lot of people who are younger, they come out, they play the game, they try to blend in a little bit, or they're a little worried. It's kind of like the same thing with older people. Like it made me laugh. I was just rewatching Survivor Palau, and Tom Westman's strategy was to hide behind his gray hair. Yeah, good one, Tom. So technically, Tom's the worst player in Survivor history because he went out and played the most dominant game ever. But like that's like Sammy kind of feels like he's breaking out of that mold of like, well, I'm young, I'm gonna have to figure it out. He just came in guns blazing. I mean, he just doesn't care. He's gonna go in, he's gonna be himself, and he does. I guess why I say cocky is because like, why is he so confident? Why does this kid deserve the confidence that he has? That's where it comes across as cocky. Because like, man, if that was an 18, 19 year old that I was around all the time, I'd be like, dude, like, how are you like this? But he's fun. He'd be somebody you'd want to hang out with when you're 18, 19. But when you're 30, you're like, hey, you're not old enough to have this level of confidence yet.
We are so not fun anymore.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. It's all been downhill.
We have one question. Did Noel sit out count for prop bet? Phil and I were just doing some calculating. That's going to count. So we actually have sit outs. So Carla and Noel both have two. And then in terms of reward, Noel, Jesse, Gabler, and Janine all have four rewards. So they are getting close to the five plus. Everyone has had their mouth blur. Swear all people do on this cast is have potty mouths. My mother would be very disappointed in all.
What was the line of the episode, Alexa? Because first of all, I thought Gabler's line first of, I'm voting out. I threw out Ellie's name because I threw out Ellie's name.
That was
the best line of the night. But what was the second best line of the night? And it involved the mouth blur.
Oh, I don't know.
It was Owen saying Gabler's an effing idiot. That was
the
funniest I was dying. Like, because it was just like after everything had been blown up for Sammy and Owen, you could just tell, was at his wit's end. And Owen is coming across so calm, so calculated, so kind. And he literally looks at Sammy and just goes, he's such an effing idiot. So good. So good. I loved it. So yeah, Owen blurred his mouth. I mean, everybody on this cast is blurring their mouth. Maybe that's why they're entertaining. They're finally getting a little
saucy with each other. Mouth. Yeah, literally. Oh, James blurred his mouth when he got a vote. Maybe Sammy doesn't because he's a good boy.
Yeah.
Where's Owen? I need to mark him. Oh, you're already dead. Nice.
Yeah. So in terms of what we have right now, Alexa, I think we're missing somebody who got a episode title, because I'm seeing five people marked and I don't think anybody's had a duplicate. I think it was the Lindsay episode where somebody said Show No Mercy. I don't know who said it, but I think that's the episode where we're missing who had the episode title.
Oh, that was Code. Oh yeah, Cody's had two episode titles.
Oh, Cody has had two episode titles.
Yeah, okay, which that's easy, then. Love that for him.
Yeah. Ellie did have a confessional in every episode, so you got that one. Whoa, if you had good. Ellie's things were cry, physical tear, 10 plus confessionals in an episode. She had her mouth blurred and she had a confessional in every episode. She got 7 votes tonight, so she doesn't land at either of our vote things. So that's all she had. Right now, the LVP of this game is Lindsay, because Lindsay only had one thing. Lindsay only had 5 votes or less. So if you put Lindsay for anything else, you didn't get any points. So that's it for that prop when it comes to Lindsay. And Gio only had 2. He went home with an unused advantage and he had 5 votes or less. So Justine had 2, but Justine also went out really early. Mariah had 3, even though she was the first boot. So there you go.
Good for her.
Yep.
Yeah, lots of props going around. I'm trying to think of anything else on this episode.
I don't have anything else on this episode. I just think what I like a lot about this season right now, I would say the stars of this season are Jesse, Carla,
Cody.
Cody, and the 3 of them barely got any screen time tonight.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sign of how good this cast is. Now, every cast for Survivor has the potential to be good. I mean, these are people who are getting picked out of thousands and thousands who are applying. But I think that really speaks volumes to, one, what the editors are doing, and 2, what everybody on this cast is bringing. We're hearing from everyone. And I see people saying, well, Gabler's kind of like a... I don't think Gabler's a face of this season. I think Gabler just comes up a lot. But in terms of like, yeah, he's getting confessionals, but he's been at the forefront, him and Ellie, of every, like, of that feud. Now that Ellie's gone, I don't think Gabler's going to survive in terms of confessional count, screen time, things like that. Carla survives on her own. Jesse survives on his own. Cody survives on his own. But the crazy thing is, we barely heard from all 3 of them tonight, and we had one of the best episodes. This cast is bringing it on all levels.
Top to bottom.
Really into it. Yeah, I don't know who you put at the bottom at this point. Like, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And we're at final 12. We have 6 people out. We have, you know, we're at the 1/3 mark, technically, of this game. It really can go anyone's way right now. I'd be shocked if Ryan won. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight didn't have a confessional tonight, I don't think, which is always a shot. But yeah. I really feel like the edits are picking up for a lot of people. I feel like we're seeing a lot of people. And I think everybody really has a sound strategy. And even somebody like Janine, who doesn't look like she played good tonight, she's going to be fine. She's going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah, this is a great group. And the only thing, someone in the comments just made a good point. I thought there was something wrong with my TV when James was speaking.
What is up, man?
But he's got a good gravelly thing going on. But man, does he need to just once?
Yeah. I know. I wonder if he lost it.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the sound of it.
I don't know if he lost it while he was screaming, because I don't feel like that's been his voice all season. Like, you know, I don't know if he's got, he might have like polyps. I have no idea. But man, he was like, I don't know if he screamed. It just felt like at that tribal, I was like, oh my God. It feels like when you get like water on like an AirPod and it like kind of clicks a little bit. 100%. That's what it felt like. It was so weird.
Yeah, that was wild.
Wild.
Yeah. But yeah, awesome episode, awesome cast, really excited for, I guess, like technically the second cast, the Ali Gabler. I can't wait to hear about that. I'd love to be his cameraman.
Like what?
James is the same microphone as Alexa. That's a good one.
What is going on?
So What else we have going on, Phil? What's going on?
Me and John are going to do our Movie Buffs episode tonight. So we'll be doing that. We're talking about LA Confidential and Zodiac. So he did Zodiac. I picked a good movie. He picked Zodiac. But Zodiac's actually really good. So watch that. We're doing that right after this. I'm going to be doing my my post show. First time I'm doing this, like actually after the episode in 3 weeks. So I'm excited to do that. I'm going to do that after I podcast with John. So I can pull some comments and everything like that. But I hope those have been going well. I hope people have been enjoying those. I've been enjoying them. So, although last week's, I certainly didn't enjoy because I think I did it like 4 days after the episode because I couldn't sit up anymore on Wednesday night, but I'm back. I feel good. I'm ready to go. Alexa, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, but McKenna was like, you're not talking like you normally do. I was like, yeah, I've been out of breath the whole entire time.
I can't breathe, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, no, McKenna is the specialist, as we know.
She is the specialist. I know. We finally are back. And then Alexa and I are going to be doing our $10 in. It's going to be for $5 retros on Friday morning. So we'll be putting that out. We've been putting out some content with the amazing raise and the challenge and things like that for $10 patrons as well as $20 patrons. So $10 patrons are getting a little bit more than $5 patrons, but nobody's asking questions. So we can't do a Q&A for $5 patrons. We got to give them something. So they're getting the retro too. But as we keep producing more content, we'll just keep going that way. And that's really it. I don't know when are we doing predictions and power rankings then? Are we doing it Monday?
Probably Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Now Halloween, Alexa will dress up nice and I'll try to find those sunglasses.
Oh, I'll find something cute to wear. Yeah. That'll be fun.
We'll look sick.
We'll look great. But yes, happy Halloween, everybody. We have a lot of good content. We have amazing race content. We have the challenge content. We might have some mole content coming up. And obviously you have Phil and my lovely faces gracing you twice a week. So tune in, subscribe, tell your friends, and hope everyone has a great rest of their evening.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.